off the ball.
Rugby.
It's the first time I've seen a real confidence and a swagger in their attack. Cohesion in passing and stuff, and that's quite telling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome back to our extended news round of Monday evening. It is time to round up the weekend's Gaelic games action. And Stephen Doyle, you are beginning with the Gaelic football.
Yes, indeed. Donegal kept their unbeaten run in Division 1 of the National Football League. No problems against Armagh, coming out on top with a 120-19 point win. Meanwhile, Monaghan's search for a first win goes on. They fell to a 230-211 loss at home to Mayo. Kobe MacDonald, son of Mayo great Kieran, scored 1-4 off the bench at that game. There was late drama in Salt Hill as Ross Common bested Galway by a point in Division 1 of the National Football League. Kieran Lennon scoring the winner in added time as the visitors came away with a 216-21 point victory. That leaves the Rossies in second place in the table, while Galway remain in fifth position. Meanwhile, Tony Brosnan's goal helped Kerry on their way to a 116-110 win over Dublin at Croke Park on Saturday night. A bit of concern around the Dublin footballers, perhaps from supporters and that kind of thing. But Paddy Andrews on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning speaking to the lads, and this is his assessment of Ger Brennan's time in charge of the Dubs so far.
I don't think any of this is a major surprise. You felt Division 1 was going to be a struggle for this Dublin team. If you look at it right, Dublin for the last couple of years were building towards, there's going to be a huge changing of the player pool. That's just the reality. That team, successful team, had come to the end of its cycle, and whoever the manager was, and it's Ger, was taking over from Desi, was going to have to find probably 12, 13 new players for their squad. But the challenge for Dublin is it's not just in their squad. When the championship comes around, they're probably going to have at least 6 new players in their first 15, never mind their squad. They're going to someone in the full back line, possibly 3 across the half back line. Who plays midfield with Pat O'Coughlin Byrne? That's totally for grabs, and maybe 1 or 2 forward positions. So the turnover, not just in the squad, but in the first 15, is going to be huge. Like, Dublin are going to take the Leinster Championship with probably 6 rookies. That's a massive, massive ask for any team.
Tommy Rooney, our Gaelic Games correspondent, is with us on the line. Evening, Tommy.
Howdy, fellas. How are things?
Just a quick one on that, and feel free to take this anywhere you want for as little time as you'd like, Tommy. Saturday evening, Dublin versus Kerry. This fixture not exactly delivering on the fireworks of previous years. Dublin looking really poor at the moment. We'll see if they manage to turn it around in the coming weeks and months. Maybe it doesn't say a whole pile about Kerry that they didn't properly put them to the sword on the scoreboard either. So you were there, so give us your quick thoughts there before we get into matters more pressing.
Yeah, I fell for it. I decided to rock up to Croke Park this weekend. And I don't know whether it's because I've been spoiled in the last 18 months with football matches, but yeah, it was disappointing. It was poor, it was slow. Kerry were trying to work on a couple of things, which they could do at their ease. The Dubs were, again, trying to blood players and trial and stuff, but it wasn't great. And I think there was far better and more entertaining and interesting football and hurling games around the country at the weekend. So I do think we judge the Dubs at a slightly different standard. I still think they're going to be fine when it comes to the Leinster Championship. Gone back to the pack a little. But we are judging them against possibly the greatest team we've ever seen.
Yeah, that's totally fair. The standards are pretty high. Can we talk about Kobe? I can't quite tell if this is going to be something that gives Mayo people a real warm sense of joy forevermore, because they got one season of one of their great county men lining out in the green and red of Mayo. Or is it actually just going to be a story that takes a county entrenched in heartbreak deeper into a sense of heartbreak because they've got a little taste of this, and then they're going to have to break up with one another at the end of this year?
I think anyone's exposure to the talent of Kobe MacDonald is a positive. And I say this without any hint of irony. Kobe MacDonald departing to Australia, if and when he does go at the end of the season, to St Kilda, won't be just Mayo's loss. It'll be a loss to Irish sport. Look at the way this kid announced himself on the national stage. Like, a little bit off Broadway, Clonus, in the middle of February. But like, he just finished the mocks during the week. Lost the Connacht C-final with his school, Gertner Abbey, the week beforehand. Rocked into training on Wednesday. Andy Warren said that he said he wanted to play on Sunday, so we trained again on Friday. He said, right, we're bringing you in the panel. But he didn't want to just be in the panel. He wanted to play. This sublime selection of scores he gets. His first touch is to go on this cut off the shoulder and bamboozle a Monaghan defender and clip over a score from the 21, like on the right, on the run. Glorious. The goal, like, I was speaking to a couple of colleagues who were in Clonus that afternoon, and they were like, the TV doesn't do it justice. Like, there's like a Roberto Carlos-esque whip on the shot because he hits it with the outside of the boot on the run again. Lads, forget about that. Forget about the scores, the touches, the speed of a fella who's about 6'3". It's the celebrations. He's got it all. And like, he's not afraid to embrace the fact that he's Kieran McDonald's son, that his name is Kobe. He has a wristband with the writing legacy on it as well. And do you know what? In much to say, I made this point on the pod as well. David Clifford had really good people around him growing up with the hype that was on his shoulders and the expectation, and really good people in Kerry that looked after him and helped him. He also had, you know, a really good head on his shoulders too. And it strikes me that Kobe and the manner in which his father and his family and the Mayo management are managing this talent at the minute, he's in a good place. And I just hope we get to see a bit more of him this year, because he, do you know what? He lit up the weekend for me.
Where's he going to play this year for the Mayo seniors?
Oh, I think, like, look, I think he could play in a number of different positions. And like, that's just the potential that's there, right? I feel like we're going to see Kobe McDonald. Like, he top scores for Mayo at the weekend. Mayo scored 230 at the weekend. He top scores in his 15 minutes on the field at 1-4. This fella is a maverick. I have a feeling he's still obviously only 18. Monaghan didn't lay upon him, right? There's bigger tests to come. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see Kobe McDonald every week. I do think that much the same way Jim McGuinness knows his audience and Kieran McGeaney knows his audience, Andy Moran knows his audience, and I'd have a feeling when Armagh rock into town in Castlebar this Sunday, the Mayo home support will be expecting to see a bit of Kobe as well. Where he play on, one of the three up.
Okay.
Like, you're going to have to put somebody marking him because he's got all the attributes and the skill to pull it off.
Talk to us about McGuinness versus McGeaney yesterday, Tommy. This was as entertaining in the tunnel after the match as it was on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, good game of football, but we'd breeze by the football. You know, McGuinness making the point afterwards. Jim McGuinness and Kieran McGeaney are always a story after these games. We don't want to be the story, but they're just too goddamn interesting. And, you know, when you put a question to the two of them, sometimes you put a question, and look, the post-match interview scene is changing a little bit in the GA at the minute, and there's a lot of backs-to-the-wall stuff. I've been kind of talking about this in the last little while. You know, a manager standing there literally with his back to the wall and five or six microphones and a couple of cameras in his face. Morris Brosnan and John Fogarty did a nice piece on this a couple of weeks back. And what you're getting is, at times, a bit of tetchiness. At times, you're getting a bit of gold dust, the piggery line the last day. You're getting a bit of interaction, which I really enjoy. And kind of the beauty of what we have in Gaelic games. And maybe Jim McGuinness doesn't think it, but like, some of the people asking questions here are actually coaching or playing, you know, at a decent level, or are very interested in the game, or have been covering it for years. And there's a thirst for a depth, I think, around Gaelic games, a depth of knowledge and a bit of insight into what's going on. And, you know, I think you'll hear it now with Cathal O'Kane, who is still playing to a very high level and is interested in coaching as well. Cathal was sitting beside me when Jim obviously had the bite back about their setup in the All-Ireland final last year. I wasn't at the Armagh Donegal game, but I listened. This helped me now on my drive home from RD back to Clare yesterday. I managed to listen to the McGuinness and McGeaney press conferences, and it was the most entertaining 25 minutes of all the 3 hours of audio I listened to on the way home. So have a listen here to Kieran McGeaney, Cathal putting a couple of questions to him from the Irish News.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Do you think that filtered in a wee bit, Keane? You mean you went for goals today, and is that part of the noise? And I'm not saying you are,
no,
but is it part of the noise seeps into the changing room?
But like, say against Galway, we had four goal chances blocked. Right? And Roscommon, whatever it was, it was four again. It's not as if we're not going for goals. But again, listen, it's my fault because I give you the headlines, but like it's you're so better, it must be going to get that McGeaney out there and we get something paper so like.
How much of it's fortune in the sense that I don't know that Oisin could have done a wild pile more with the penalty. Like it was a brilliant save.
They could have scored it. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh. I haven't scored too many myself, so.
We're frustrated against the win last week in terms of timekeeping and stuff. Just Tomas's time is a substitution. It was a
you can't talk about referees. Well,
no, but
it's like you get more headlines on me. Referees. You know, some the readers, just so they know, they think that we come out and start talking about referees. Like, gather around everybody here and start talking about referees and give them a hard time.
And the best of
you just go, Kieran, do you think the timekeeping was real? I did. Did you think it was really hard? Suddenly the headline is McGeaney gives out a bit of this here. Like, as you know, fellas, there's idiots out there who love writing about me. They're infatuated by me, so they just seem to want to get those things. Stop asking.
I think it's great to play that audio because you see the comments written down and it's like, oh god, Geezer was in bad form there yesterday, he really doesn't like the media. But when you actually hear his tone of voice there, you know he's actually having a pretty good time there in the tunnel. Jim McGuinness maybe a little bit more of a straight shooter when it comes to his dealings with the media. McGeaney kind of likes a bit of jousting over and back with Cara and your colleagues.
Go on.
Just because we want to get onto the hurling in a moment, mm-hmm. just give us a quick top line on what happened in Division 2 yesterday, because I know you were at the Louth game.
Yeah, a couple of big results. Cavan potentially giving themselves a lifeline. The Beckle there wasn't the greatest game of football, but Cavan got a big win there. Cavan had fallen short in a couple of games. Cork with a massive win against Meath that have put them right in contention for promotion back to Division 1. James O'Donoghue had a great line on the football pod this morning about Chris Oak-Jones. He said he'd lie, he'd cheat, he'd steal his way for a goal chance. He's a bit like Pippo and Zaggy. And I think he's dead right. And Chris Oak-Jones took his chance at the weekend. The Meath forwards missed their chances for goals, the majority of them. And Cork got a big win there. The other two results, Derry gave Offaly a right clip and Offaly are on the way down to Division 3. And I was at Loudon and Tyrone. Interesting game. There's loads of post-match coverage up and off the ball. All I'll give you is that these two gave a clinic in how to play against the wind, not so much with the wind. And yeah, there's a little bit to learn from that if anyone can get eyes in that game. But the best part about it was played in Park for RD. You'd only get 2,800 in here. It's raw. It's, you know, lovely facilities, but the crowd getting on top of each other and the referee and the teams themselves. And it just added to the absolute atmosphere. And I just think the more games we can get in grounds like that around the country, and RD have done a great job in Park Fir with what they have and their facilities, and, you know, three in a row county champions there. They were very proud to show it off the last day. And that kind of enticed me to go up to watch that game. A lot more than going to maybe a big empty stadium at this time of the year. I think we need a bit of that.
Stephen Doyle, give us the hurling scores from the weekend.
Yes, indeed. Well, Kilkenny needed a late winner to see off Waterford in Division 1A of the National Hurling League. Kilkenny's Free completed a comeback for the Cats, who came away from Nolan Park with a 121-120 victory. Meanwhile, Galway got their first win of the year. They were too good for Offaly and emerged as 223-18 point winners, while the All-Ireland champions Tipperary fell to a second defeat of the season in Division 1A. Limerick led from start to finish and came out on top by 36 points to 21 at Semple.
What about Kildare versus Clare, Mick?
Yeah, it was very wet, very rainy. Got in there too late to get into the main stand for the first half.
Amateur. Rookie mistake.
Stood in the absolute drenching rain in the lower terrace. It was roadworks in Newbridge, it turns out. Anyway, once I did get into the main stand, where my sister had kindly kept me a seat, but that wasn't good enough for the steward, I got in there for the second half, and my god, it's a lovely new stand, actually.
Firing shots at the good St. volunteers of the GAA.
Well, I think there's a lot to be commended to the good volunteers of the GAA, and then I think some of them like the power, so there you go. That's all I have to say. I know, I'm only joking, of course. Sort of. It was very wet. can I go back at that, right? Claire,
are you blaming them for the weather, yeah?
Claire didn't play very well. You kind of felt they would turn it around. Claire were leading for a good old portion of the game. Big crowd there from Claire, right? That definitely filled the place up. But there was also a big home crowd at a hurling match in Kildare. Like, the last time I saw Kildare hurl in person was, I think, the third of Claire's three in a row in the under-21s the kind of Tony Kelly, Shane O'Donnell era. They beat Wexford in the final, and before that the B final was on between Roscommon and Kildare, and it's about maybe 12 years ago, and I remember thinking, like, you know, God, it'd be great to see one of these counties. They've got some good hurlers. You know, all that patronising thing, you say, oh, they've got some good hurlers, it's played at a much slower level and stuff like that. And then we are seeing a decade later them playing at the same level. Now, I don't think come championship there's, you know, that much of a competition, but they've got some really, really good players, and they're really confident, and they're a good team to watch, and they're a good team. You get the impression that they believe in themselves. And I was very impressed by them. I was very impressed. They actually shot the game away in the end. They'll be very disappointed they didn't win it, because they had the chances to win it. They really shot poorly in the second half, but the atmosphere was brilliant. And you would just love to see that. You would just love to see that ground be full constantly for Kildare home games, and it feeling like something is happening in the county, and it be a sustainable thing that Kildare hurling is at, you know, on its way to the top level.
Okay.
Brilliant. They really enjoyed it.
Tommy Rooney, we're going to have to leave it there, but people check out the Football Pod, which is available now. What do you want to say?
Just mentioned, because they've got a lot of heat on the wrong side of things over the last couple of weekends. Antrim Hurlers and the Antrim Footballers both won at the weekend, so I just think it's worth noting that.
And the Antrim Camogie team beat Cork for the first time in however long they had.
Massive,
right? What a
massive results.
Okay.
Yeah, so just worth noting that, and we'll leave you with that.
Off the Ball Rugby.
It's the first time I've seen a real confidence and a swagger in their attack, cohesion in passing and stuff, and that's quite telling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.